Blog Talk Radio.
And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back. And still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show. They be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back. And still I never be the same though. Mind, body and soul,
is you living?
We all under attack,
is you different?
I know niggas existing in two prisons, feeling they through living like death is too tempting. What's a day worth? Put a price on it. He was 17, the judge dropped life on him. He ain't live yet, now he in the tight corner.
Gangs got their sights on him,
on the yard with a knife on him. Family trying to tell him to chill, we gon' get you home. He like how my pills said they took the wrong. That's kinda cold
when you think about it.
He shot a nigga, he ain't
think about it, didn't even blink about it.
But he was trapped in the hood and couldn't think about it. Really trying to be about it,
never left his public housing,
which resembles the dormitories he's trapped in. So who knew that they was prepping him back then?
Yeah,
on how to live back then. Make him hate his black skin, I swear it's all facts, man.
Yeah, I swear to God it's all facts, man.
So you should let the track spin. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back. And still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take them back, I just pray I make it back. And still I never be the same though.
Remember calling my mom to tell my sentence.
Since I don't do no snitching, I'm not a witness. They gave me 23 years, ma.
I'm finished.
I think she cried for like 15 minutes. Over the years, there's enough tears to fill a lake. A lot of trips on
interstates for visiting.
Remember Tony got stabbed.
May he rest in peace.
Stressed my mother so bad, she barely slept for weeks. Thankful that it wasn't me, knowing prison
danger.
Doing time with lifers and killers and gangbangers. Some of us get caught in the matrix, but can you blame us? Trapped in cages like animals trying to tame us. Parole hearings are jokes, you go up 50 times. Same excuse every time, serious nature
of the crime.
I can't change the crimes that I committed, but I can't change my mind and not repent. And I might never let the pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take it back, I just pray I make it back. And still I never be the same though. I might never let that pain show, but it be driving me insane though. They give a chance to take it back, I just pray I make it back. And still I never be the same though.
Bismillah. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulullah, I'm a bad. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. And salam, peace to you all. And what I said in translation is, of course, in the name of God, all praise and thanks belongs to God. And may his praise and salutations be upon his master or messenger, Muhammad, to proceed. And I greeted the believers, of course, with the greetings and salutations of peace and security and God's mercy and his blessings. And I greeted you all with peace. And welcome, everyone, to another rainy night at Point of Impact podcast here in Norfolk, Virginia. Well, in the Tidewater area, should I say. And also with my co-host, my beautiful co-host, our mother, queen, sister, Kristen Ellison, and my beloved brother, Hassan Shabazz, and our producer, Jay Sean, who is holding us down. We here tonight, y'all, by the grace of Allah God. I'm thankful. And we're grateful that you are joining us tonight, as we have a beautiful brother coming on, a brother who I dearly love. His name is Sharif, and we're going to be speaking with him tonight. He has an experience that we're just going to talk about, and I think you'll find it very interesting. And I'm going to let him explain it when we get him on the show. But Krista and Hassan, y'all with me, brother?
I'm here.
Okay. Oh, definitely. You know, I'm right here with you, bro.
Okay, and also before we begin, we want to give a big, big, big shout out to Catchmo from Catchmo Kids and Chanel Catchmo for the beautiful Black Excellent event that they had last night in Hampton, Virginia, at the Air and Space Museum. It was somebody mute your phone because there's smoke. You're coming back up. Everybody, if you're not talking, just mute your phone. But we had a wonderful night. And it was fabulous. Point of Impact was there. We went out. We was out there with Mother Shabazz, Hassan's mother. And we were really having a wonderful time, all of us together, chilling, doing our thing, and just getting reacquainted with brothers that we have, me and Hassan have done time with when we was in the barbed wire cities of Virginia and Virginia's correctional facilities. So right now we're going to proceed on with the show tonight. And we want to remind everyone who is joining us, if you wish to speak, please press 1. If you wish to speak or give a positive comment, or if you like to ask a positive question, or if you like to just add on to the positivity of the conversation, please speak. Push 1 and we'll get you involved, okay? So let's get on with the show tonight. Sharif, you with us, brother? Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Walaikum salam, rahmatullah. Peace, how y'all doing?
All right.
Hey. Assalamu alaikum, man.
Yeah.
Walaikum salam, rahmatullah. How's everything going?
Everything is good, Sharif. So listen, Sharif, you want to tell the people who you are and you want to tell them a little bit about, you know, how you're a returning citizen, you're home now. So you want to talk a little bit about to that, and you want to tell the people who you are, brother?
Right. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, my name is Sharif Abdullah Ibn Mazal. Alhamdulillah. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. And, you know, I'm just coming home. I'm returning citizen. I came home in March 16th. Alhamdulillah, of 2022. You understand what I'm saying? And, yo, I'm going to tell you this right here, man. For people who think that when people be locked away, I did 26 joints, 26 years and 10 months, man. And when people think that dudes be having a party in jail because they be in there for long periods of time, that's not the case. You understand what I'm saying? You got a lot of struggles that a person goes through. Yeah, keep in mind, some people, you know, do things or accused of things that, you know, that's just unfit for society. But at the end of the day, when these people come home, they come home worse if they don't take the initiative themselves. Because if you depend on, what you said, razor wire city, you know, they ain't helping you with nothing. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
Whether it's addictions, whether it's a person have addiction, and addiction's not just with drugs. You got people that got sex addiction, and they kind of like condone that in there. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, messing with, you know, having, you know, a thing they call gunning in there. And we all know what gunning mean in there. You understand what I'm saying? With a dude, he take himself. He might go to the shower, or he might be in his room, and he waits for females to come around, and he just expose himself and start masturbating.
Oh, wow.
Like, they condone that. Like, they condone that type of stuff. So just imagine being in that setting for 26 years when you see people acting like this right here, and it's, like, okay to do in there.
And when you were released, Sharif, when you were released, you were given a conditional pardon as myself, right, by Governor Northam?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. I got a conditional pardon, man. And one of the conditions that, one of the main points that he gave it to me on is because the sentence I had, it was like, yo, I got sentenced 35 years more than what I was supposed to get.
What was your original sentence supposed to be?
My original sentence was supposed to be like six, seven years.
Mm.
But I ended up with like 41.
So your they compounded your pre-sentencing report?
Yeah, like they just disregarded all that, man. They just did what they wanted because, you know, I got locked up at a time where, you know, it was tough on crime. And you from OT, you know, me being from New York, you understand what I'm saying? They look at you as like more of a, like a black man out there. And from New York, I mean, not to just be like, you know, it is what it is. You understand what I'm saying? You from New York, I mean, you come from OT, they looking at you like, yo, we really going to make an example out of you.
Right. Yeah, don't I know. Yeah, you know, and see, what people don't know, Sharif used to call me on a regular basis, like, you know, asking me, like, hey, what can I do? You know, what do I need to do to get this conditional pardon? And I would tell him, you know, most importantly, you got to be patient, and you just have to work on your end to do what you need to do to get out of there. And, you know, by the grace of Allah, the brother was given a conditional pardon, as I was, by Governor Northam, who is no longer governor here in the state of Virginia. But Governor Northam actually, he commuted a lot of people's sentence with conditional pardons. And I give praise to Allah for that rectification, because as Sharif, I too was sentenced outside of my guidelines. I was sentenced outside of my guidelines three times more than my actual sentence. My sentence was 2 to 4, and I received a 50-year sentence with 30 years to do in the Virginia Department of Corrections, which I did 25 years of. So, you know, this is a real issue that is going on in the state of Virginia, where men and women are being harshly sentenced, overly sentencing, and aggressive sentencing that have compounded a lot of people's issues that really don't have anything to do with their crime. It's just the harshness of the sentence. Brother Hassan, you want to ask Brother Sharif any questions, or you want to add on?
Yeah, sure, man. First and foremost, man, I appreciate brothers coming on, man, and really giving insight as to what it is that goes on behind those walls and the struggles that we face. Because like the brother Sharif was saying, man, he was talking about how people don't understand the type of struggles that we endure on the inside, the type of mental strain, because it's really not a real severe physical, right? Really not a real severe physical strain. It is the mental, the diabolical structuring of the system that we have to deal with spiritually and mentally. Like the brother said, it's spiritual warfare going on in there, right? You're really striving to hold fast to your deen, hold fast to who you are as a man so that you can come home the best man that you could possibly be. You know, and so I appreciate that what the brother Sharif was speaking about, man. And I just wanted to give a little comment to that, because I too was over sentenced. I got most of my time. I did 23 and a half years. I got most of my time from gun charges, the guns that I had, and I was over sentenced 8 years because the judge could have ran the time concurrent, but was under the impression that he had to run it consecutive, and so he gave me over 13 years just for guns, just for the gun charges. So I would have done the time for whatever the crime was at that time, and then I would have been out probably about 10 or 15 years ago. But I maxed out all my time. You see, and so I maxed out all my time, and I gave them everything. And so now we're here now, and I want to ask the brother Sharif that now since you've been out, bro, what have you found to be the most trying aspect of you being home, the struggle that you now face out here? What do you see as being the most trying thing for you?
No, listen, I can't even begin, man. There's so many, man. You know, when you're away, right? You get caught up in the illusion, like, oh, man, yeah, when I go home, I'll be able to do woo-woo-woo-woo. But when you come home, man, and you see how things have evolved, like the world not the same from when I fell. You know, an example of this is like one time you used to see payphones on every corner. Now you don't see them anymore. You understand what I'm saying? So the most trying to do is just laying in a bed and not being, and get up out of your bed and just walk to the bathroom and not have to be in there with another man and hearing a whistle being blown saying lights on, feet on the floor. You know, all those things have an effect on you, man. Somebody said it do. It has some type of effect on you when you come home and just be able to look in a refrigerator. And just take something out of something as simple as that. That's simple living. But it's a big thing for when you wasn't able to do that for 26 years, man.
Come on.
So, you know, just getting an ID. You know what I mean? The patience of getting an ID. The patience of getting, like, everything that you knew how to do when you was in the world, you have to relearn all over again. But that was, like, frustrating.
Let's be mindful to mute our phones when we're not talking, so we can reduce the feedback. Let me ask you something, Sharif. With the complications, what things right now are prevailing for you? What things are you allowed to see yourself progressing in?
Oh, well, alhamdulillah, yeah, I'm progressing. You know, plenty of things. You know what I mean? I got a job now. You understand? So I'm working in a hospital now. You understand what I'm saying? Alhamdulillah. But at first, when I first started, I didn't want to be around people. You understand what I'm saying? Because it was like, man, I've just been around a certain group of people for so long. And when you're around people that, you know, just work, you know, have an honest living and not really with the, you know, just do everyday living, it was hard dealing with them at first. Because when you're in jail, you think everybody trying to get over. You think everybody that deal with you got some type of agenda. So you start building all these defense mechanisms and dealing with that stuff. And when you come home, you know, people just like normal people like this, chilling and laid back. So that was a big struggle for me, man, when I first started working, man. Like, it was like I didn't want to be bothered with nobody. And that's not good. You understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, you got people, man, like that never been in jail before in their life. They're just good people. You understand what I'm saying? They just genuine good people just sit down and talk. It was hard. It's the adjustment is sitting down talking to people like that again. Because the people you've been dealing with for 26 years don't have that mentality.
And, you know, I want to give an analogy to something. And that's a beautiful that you brought up because, you know, a lot of times in prison, you know, you become kind of antisociable to some degree. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't understand that, how, you know, that impacts you when you return to the free society where you have to kind of be sociable and have this social skills to be able to, you know, navigate through society. But I want to touch on, you know, something that I think a lot of people don't understand. And I'm going to give you an analogy. Let's say to those who are listening, let's say you're with your wife or your kids, and or your mother, or you just by yourself, and you're walking through Walmart. And as you're walking through Walmart, a man who is beside you just whips out his private part, and he starts masturbating on the woman who may be at the cash register. The first thing you're going to do is be like, nigga, you done lost your mind? You understand what I'm saying? You want to take off on this man, right? But in prison, imagine this in prison, where you have majority of the people around you, because they feel that this is something that's condoned and people don't really, you know, speak against it. Imagine being in a cell with a man, you laying in your bunk, and this man takes it upon himself while you laying in your bunk in the cell with him and gets on the door, pulls his private part out, and start masturbating on the CO who's making rounds, or masturbates on the CO who's standing in the pod, or masturbates on the CO, or the counselor, or the nurse, or any woman that's in the pod. Can just vision that. Like, this is the type of struggles and that a man has to contend with when he's in the prison system. This is just one of the struggles.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Sister Krista, would you like to to speak towards that? Would you like to speak on how that, you know, now that you're hearing this?
You know, I'm listening to you all, and I can't imagine the mental strength that you all had to endure to make it through 20-some-odd years of dealing with seeing these things, being subjected to this type of behavior, and even sometimes not only from the inmates, but from some of the COs as well.
COs as well, that's right.
Right. So it goes both ways. I don't want people to get it twisted as if y'all are the ones that's always being the ones that that starts this or, you know, the antagonist in the situation, because it goes both ways. So, just listening to y'all, you know, you all share your stories and how y'all made it out of it, it just lets me know how deep mental health runs and, you know, the work that needs to be done, not only while being incarcerated, but the care at the aftercare.
And a lot of people,
is what the youth need to hear, because they think that it's a walk in the park. Oh, I could do this time. And like you're just sitting there playing cards or shooting dice or talking crap with a bunch of guys, because fellas like to be amongst fellas when you're watching a game and, you know, you're playing cards and stuff of that nature. But what happens, like you say, when the lights go out, and what happens when you're vulnerable and or in the hole or by yourself, you know what I'm saying, and you're not amongst your friends and you're with another group, you're surrounded by a different ethnicity group. So it's an untold story that the kids
Let me just tell you something, sister. This ain't happen just when the light's out. These type of things happen on the yard. These type of things happen while you're sitting in the pod watching a football game. Like this, and the crazy thing about it, people, is that a lot of times, and Chris, I'm glad you pointed that out, the staff actually condones it, as the brother was talking about. You will see women actually allowing the men, like staring at them, encouraging them to do this, because what the administration do. See, when I first fell in 1996, when I first fell into the prison system of Virginia, there were no women on the floor. They worked in the booth or they worked in the administrative areas, right? But then as time went on, when you started going into the later years of my sentencing, when you started getting into the 2000s and things like that, they started placing women on the floors because there were not enough men to patrol the floors. You understand what I'm saying? So, but they also realized that they can subdue the men, and they would easily be able to manipulate the men to do what they wanted them to do by having these women on the floor, because now they know, you know, the women would induce the men, you understand what I'm saying, to behave in a certain way outside of their natural self, you know what I'm saying, and then that would, you know, in turn allow them to have more control, you know. So it's not by chance, you know, people don't understand the tragedies that you know, our men are dealt with when they go into the prison system. You know, we ain't even talking about the other issues of chattel incarceration, of shackles and things, and, you know, we ain't even talking about all of that. We ain't even talking about the violence
that some guards, just like teachers have their favorite students, I understand that guards have their favorite, and the ones that they don't like, the ones that get on their nerves, the ones that they want to see meet their demise. So I get all of that, and those are the things that, you know, needs to be brought to the forefront. And when you have a model of Department of Corrections to follow and it's not followed, there's the oversight.
That's right. At this moment, y'all, we want to take a caller. We got a caller. Hold on. Listen, I'm going to let you speak to that, Sharif. Anyone calling? Someone calling in? Hello?
5889, you live.
Hello, are you there?
Hello?
You can speak? Yeah. Hello, Peace. How you doing?
How you doing, my brother? How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm good. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Miles Williams. How you doing?
Okay, Peace, brother Miles. How are
I'm
you,
from,
beloved? And thank
I'm
you for calling.
I'm from Patterson, Georgia.
Okay.
I just want to know, when you brothers get out, how hard is it for you to get, you know, like, get your rights back to, like, vote or, like, a real decent job or the stuff you have to go through to get back into, like, but I know they talking about they are allowing brothers who get out of prison the right to vote again. Are that's happening to you guys?
Mm-hmm.
That,
well,
another,
in the state of
that, hold on, before you ask another thing, that I used to go visit my brother in Rahway State Prison and that visiting hall, man. I mean, they be having sex right there in front of everybody. Nobody
yeah.
doing it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The way these women come down there and dress, and these brothers just have it right there in front of everybody. It's kind of
yeah.
madness.
Yeah,
I just want to know, do y'all have, do they give y'all rights back when you get out?
It depends upon, here in the state of Virginia, they do initiate your rights. You are giving your rights back. But I think there's conditions to certain people's specific charges to whether they can get all
no.
their rights back.
No.
But like me, no. Go ahead, Brother Hassan. You want to speak to that? Because I know you have more knowledge on that.
Yeah, sure. Most definitely. When you do go out and register to get your rights back, you are automatically placed into the system. But what you have to do is you have to log on to the website for restoration of rights. That's all you have to do is Google it. It'll pop up. And then when you go on the website, all you have to do is fill out the paperwork. But what happens is sometimes it takes up to 3 months for it to go through. And then if that happens, or if there's a discrepancy within a name or something like that, then you're gonna have to petition the court to actually do it. And then you have to petition the court to get that straight. But otherwise, if all your information line up within the first 3 months, as long as you go on there and register, you can get your rights back. And you get your rights back to do jury duty, to also run for public office, and what have you. As far as your gun rights, you have to actually go and petition the court for that. You cannot get
yeah.
that through the regular restoration of rights. But everything else, you can get those rights back just by registering. I did, and I was not able to vote because I got out in July, and when I registered, it took over 3 months. I didn't register until August, and so it took over 3 months for them to put me in the system, and therefore I wasn't able to vote. But it's still arduous for some guys because they don't know how to do it, but they do
right.
have restoration of right clinics and stuff like that all over the city. So if you Google that type of stuff, they'll show you. It's all at your fingertips,
yeah.
man. It's the information age.
Yeah, my circumstance was a little different. My rights was restored within 3 months of me being returned to the society, and I didn't have to register or anything. But I had my situation was I had an unjust sentence, so the governor was able to restore my rights. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
everybody's not met
yeah.
in those same conditions. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Go ahead, brother.
No.
Mr. Miles. Go ahead.
So now. Do your parole, like when y'all come out and y'all on our parole, do they be hard on you guys? I mean, like really trying
well,
to, instead of trying to help you get better, they just trying to find a way to send you back?
Well, see, Brother Sharif, you were given a interstate compact. Can you speak to how it related to you as far as your parole and stuff with your situation?
Yeah, when I came home, right, yeah, it's an assessment that when you're on parole, it's a competency assessment that your parole officer is supposed to do, and this is how they determine how they're going to govern. This is how they determine how they're going to monitor you. But a lot
mm-hmm.
of dudes don't know this, so their parole officer just come and just say, "Yo, you on the 8-8 curfew, And he's like, yo, why I got to be on an 8-to-8 curfew? Not knowing that he have rights. So when you say to them about the rights that you have about this assessment that they are supposed to go and govern you by, then you basically, when you know what you're talking about when you deal with them, then they do what they're supposed to do. But if you don't know what's supposed to happen, then they gonna do whatever. You understand? Mm. It's like damn if you do, damn if you don't. But the first chance you get, first slip up you do, I'm gonna send you back. You know, so it's on the individual. You gotta educate yourself about these things, because if not, then yo, you're just gonna be caught up in that cesspool of ignorance that they've been capitalizing off of us for many years.
Yes, sir. And see,
which kind of brings me back to what I said last show when I was talking about how they look for the wrong instead of the right. They make money off of wrong, and you know, they have a quotum. They have a quotum for me.
Mm.
So it's not a quotum for you getting doing good deeds. It's for what you do that's wrong that they get paid off of. So of course they're gonna look for the wrong in you, and look for the foul things that people do. That's how they get paid. If you were doing everything right, what would you need a parole officer for?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Prison is a business. That's right. Now. It's a business.
Yes, it is. It is. In the United States right now, prison is you can actually get stocks. You can get stocks prisons, and you know, they have privatized a lot of the business, the prisons in the States. You know what I'm saying? And that's a whole nother show we can talk about. But it's, you know, when you're getting out of parole, and I tell a lot of brothers, when you get out of parole, Sharif made a valid point. Before you get out of parole, they do what is called like an assessment of whether you're more likely to come to prison or not, right? And they do that assessment determined by your charge, what kind of charges you attain while you're incarcerated, and also what kind of treatment plan you need when you come home. Like if you're a sex offender, or if you're a drug offender, if you have a murder charge, if you're an offender for a violent crime, all of these type of things, they kind of assess how they go about, you know, your supervision. But sadly, the supervision a lot of times is taxful. It's very taxful because they want you to come in at your work hours. When you get a job and you're trying to maintain a job, they want you to come in and take days off from your job. And you got to, you know, deal with, you know, your job may hire you knowing that you're a felon, but then you got to take time off from work. And that becomes a problem. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
right
away your employer, he's trying to, you know, get rid of you, you know, because you're causing a slack in their production. You know, so there's a lot of controversy that we're met. And it's one thing, it's one of the shows in the early part of us creating Point of Impact where I talked about supervision. It's supposed to be for the advocate of the inmate, meaning that a parole or probation officer their job is to actually advocate for you to be successful. That's what they're actually hired for. But the system has reversed that to where the parole and the probation officers are more like policemen who run around. And they will violate you on technicality. Like, for example, let's say you move from your actual resident home with your parole plan was made. You were living with your mother. Your parole plan was to go with your mother. But, of course, you come home and you get a job, you start living your life, and say you find a woman or you get out and you get an apartment of your own, and if within a certain time period, if you move and you change that, they may even violate you for that. You see what I'm saying? And a lot of times people don't understand the stresses that men and women go through dealing with parole officers, because all parole officers like you got some parole officers who are compassionate, but then you got some parole officers, man, who are very, very aggressive.
Biased.
And they're biased, and they automatically shun you. You know, they come in with this attitude that you just a piece of garbage, and they're going to do everything and anything to put you back in prison. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To meet those quotas.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a tough struggle, Brother Miles. It's a tough struggle.
That's another question on that.
Yeah, sure.
Look, I got a nephew who they just gave him 60 years for a murder he didn't commit. His boys did it, but they got a videotape of him like 2 miles away from what happened at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
But they still sent him to 60 years.
Wow.
He's in down in state. He's in down in Trenton.
And this was in Jersey?
Yes, he's fighting that now. Because he keeps showing them the videotape that he's at the hospital when all this went down, but they don't want to believe it. It's like I see it, but I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, that's where I have a problem with all of these so-called community activists. And that's where the community activists need to get involved in being active in having the community address and hold these people accountable for, you know, the incarceration of a person who has legitimately shown that he could have not been a part of that crime. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, we have so many people who are incarcerated due to circumstantial evidence. Here in Virginia,
that's right.
They had a man by the name of Ford. Henry Ford was his name. Henry Ford was an outstanding NFL football player. He played for the Buffalo Bills. He played for the Washington Commanders. He played for, I think he played, I don't want to be, but he played for another team. I can't remember the other team. They locked this man up based upon someone just saying that he was selling cocaine in ounces. They pulled this man over. Never found any drugs in his property, never found it in his person, never found any drugs on his residency, never had any proof of him doing an actual transaction, just on the hearsay. Hearsay, they locked this man up. So here in Virginia, you have what people don't realize. In Virginia, circumstantial evidence will put you in prison.
That's right. That's right.
We'll put you in prison.
So my nephew.
That's right.
So what my nephew did about that was, he did what my man said last week, but he went in the library, got them law books, and now he's getting a new court date now. So, we ain't going to get too crazy about it because you know how the court system is when it comes to brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So he did end up putting his stuff together.
That's a great thing because in the state of Virginia has less than 1% post-conviction relief.
Less than 1%.
Just imagine, so in Virginia, you getting out on post. Now, there are people, don't get me wrong, who get out through circumstances of, you know, things that they're able to prove, but the felony itself is not removed. You understand what I'm saying? So you still have a conviction on your jacket. So this is a great problem that they have in the state of Virginia. One of the great things about up north in Jersey, New York, Philadelphia, is that you have a lot of people who advocate and who watch these type of temperaments that go on in the court systems, and people are denied opportunity, and you have a lot more defensive strategies that give you avenues out. Here in the state of Virginia, everything is rebutted. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little different. And I want to thank you, brother, for definitely that was great content that you brought that people need to be aware of. Now, thank you so much. Yeah. You know,
hey, any of y'all ever heard of a group? Have any of y'all heard of a group, an organization called POP?
Say that again?
Who?
Have any of y'all heard of an organization called POP? People of Progress.
POP? I've never heard of it. No.
Okay,
no.
Because they fight for stuff like that too. Especially the brother who was down in Philadelphia, the Muslim brother who that they sentenced to all that time, and he just getting out because he got cancer now. I forgot the book. The one that happened in 1979.
Okay. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yes, sir.
So they get involved in that stuff too, because they do look into court stuff where brothers are treated wrong. And they are out there fighting every day for that, to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go in, Hassan, Jay Sean, do we have any other callers in at this moment?
We had one other caller. I guess they dropped. The call was dropped. They're not here anymore.
Okay. How do I put myself on mute, back on mute? What button I press?
Just on your phone, do you have a mute?
Yeah, I got a *6. I could do that if it works. Or do I have to press another
whatever
number?
Works. Well, you're welcome to stay online with us. We just ask you when you're not talking.
I want to mute you out because I got family running through the house, so I don't want the background.
Okay. Well, thank you, brother, for being considerate. And I appreciate you, brother, for being on the show tonight. Man, you presented some very, very good questions, and I thank you for that, you know. Brother Hassan, you want to speak a little bit towards what Mr. Miles was talking about?
Yeah, well, just a little because I think that, you know, to tie it all in together holistically, when we're looking at the system, the entire system of things that we're talking about, when we're talking about the legal aspect of it, when we're talking about the mental health aspect of it, right, we must always understand this, that this is a capitalistic society, and it's always traced back to the money, right?
Mm.
Let's not forget because I think a lot of times we kind of forget what slavery was all about, right? It's commerce.
Come on.
And so if we really want to get into it, every aspect, even the mental health part of it, when we talk about how they don't want mental health institutions in certain neighborhoods, so they build prisons instead, and so now they can create jobs for them by putting us in mental health institutions, which are now prisons, right? And so what we got to understand is this trace always back to the money. It costs too much to make mental health institutions and run them. So they would rather lock you up knowing you have a mental disease, knowing that you have some type of sexual deviancy that sometimes even the system has a part in creating, right?
That's right.
And then they give you a remedy that when you try to use it, right, it don't work because they only give you the remedy to satisfy due process. That don't mean they're going to give it to you.
That's right.
See, so look, man. That's what the legal part is all about. That's what the mental health part is all about. That's what the transitioning, as far as us being in transition. I'm a transition Lee. I'm a lived experience expert, and I work in a transition home. I see how they treat guys. I see what's going on. I see how they try to keep them like a puppet on a string, to the point where the guys can't really even function to really get their life together, because I know what it means to be able to move to get your stuff together, man. And them guys can't do it. And so because they have a string on them, they may have a probation officer that's just a piece of trash, right, and going to try to find any and everything he can to hold it against them. I've seen guys get kicked out of the transition home with nowhere to go. How do you do that? How do you do that when a guy may have a drug problem? You need to give him help. You don't kick him out. What you doing?
That's right.
Right? These are the things that I see. This is why I'm in the position that I'm in, so that I can experience it and so that I can bring a voice to it, man, because a lot of that is not known, and it's so much more that need to be told. So, like, this part, what we do right here on Point of Impact, we're bringing you on, Brother Sharif, man, because I want you to speak to that a little bit too, right? Because you know, we have a unique point of view and perspective, man, and I think that the people deserve to hear it. I think Point of Impact bring that to you.
That's right. That's what we do. Direct talk. Sharif, you want to speak to that?
Yeah, that's another misconception that I want to bring to your audience, right, when it comes to someone incarcerated, right? Okay, well, you know everybody go, you know, they got a picture project, you know, everybody go to visitation, right? You know, you person might send a picture home, but he got on a new pair of sneakers, right, a new pair of jeans, you know, the jean outfit they saw in there, and the coat, right?
Right.
And they said, oh, right, he's doing good in there. He's living life in there. Look, he's looking better than me. Not realizing that's five people clothes that one guy wearing. That might be his homeboy sneakers. That might be his other homeboy pants. And that might be his other homeboy shirt. And he just put all that together just to wear that, just so that he could just look presentable. And he looking so bad in there. And people would take that and think that he living life large in there. And that ain't bad.
Keep it real, keep it 100, bro. Keep it 100, bro.
Keep it 100, no.
Man, what?
Hey, listen. Hey, Sheree, you cracked. It just cracked me. I was trying to hold back my laughter, right?
Oh.
But, I mean, that people really don't understand, like, in there, it's people really get this false image of what is really transpiring in the prison system. Like, they you know, and it's really difficult for men to really be in a system, especially men who don't have much support from family and friends on the outside. You know, when you're in that barbed wire city, man, it's a beast, brother, sisters. It's a beast. And I'm talking about, this is a machine that is constantly oiled and maintained in order to destroy the character, in order to destroy the uplifting or the esteem of a man and a woman. You understand? So people, you really need to listen to what's being said here. Because, see, I remember when I was a child, right, and me and my brothers, who are my cousins, we would, you know, use each other's clothes. But what grown man wants to have to go and ask another grown man, hey, man, can I wear your shirt to the visitor hall? Hey, man, can I wear, I mean, think about it. You got a grown man. He got to go and ask another grown man. You know what I'm saying? Man, can I borrow your sweater? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's crazy. All right, we got it.
We got another caller
real quick. Caller, who's calling in? Who's calling in?
Oh, 5885.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. How you doing, ma'am? What's your name?
Latoya.
Toya?
With an L-A. Latoya. Yes.
Latoya, okay. Yes, ma'am. What would you like to speak and say, Miss Latoya?
I'm not sure. I think my phone hit one, but I really don't have anything to say. I just want to comment. I've been listening
to the show
for the past couple of weeks, and this podcast is totally excellent. And only thing I want to say to each and every one of you, each one teach one, and continue asking God to lead. Each and every one of y'all are going to continue following him.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you for that comment. And I want you to know that we deeply appreciate the praise, but man, we're gonna give that praise to Allah God. And we're gonna continue to strive, because it is really enduring to hear that, endearing to my heart, because one of the things that Point of Impact, we are about, you know, really striving to bring light to the issues that, you know, so many people think they have an idea what's going on, but they really don't. You know, and sadly, so many brothers and sisters who have even been in prison still don't understand, you know, the scheme of what they're going through. You know what I mean? And you touched on a valid point, and I'm grateful that Point of Impact has made an imprint on your heart to call in and comment. Yes, we appreciate that, sister. Thank you so much, Mr. Toya.
Mm.
So, Krista, you want to speak, Krista?
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to go back to what you all were talking and speaking about when it comes to needing or you know, the things that y'all need. So, I talk to inmates all day, every day, and my brother is incarcerated. And one facility, Lawrenceville, has shut down, and they were abruptly moved to another facility. And when Lawrenceville shut down, they didn't ask them about their property. They didn't give them a sheet so they can document what property was there. They just told them to get dressed and moved them. So he has to now put money on his books to get all the things that he wasn't given, you know, his property wasn't transferred with him. So he has to get everything all over again. And he called and asked, you got a couple of dollars you can give me, or he got to get the generic brand or the brand that itches or don't work right or doesn't, do well with his skin type or whatever. So just a lot of things that is needed. And like you say, you don't want to have to ask someone else. And especially if you're a newcomer in a new environment, asking to borrow anything. So I can just, I'm just so aware of the struggle, but I don't think family members understand. And then my mom said, "Well, I just gave him $20." I'm like, $20 ain't gonna get this man.
That's right. And that a lot of people don't. Let me just enlighten some people on these sudden moves. A lot of times, men, like anything, when you change, you take a person out of their comfort zone, and you move them to another facility like that. There's a lot of things that the men have to transition into. You know, as far as getting time on the phone, just to get on a phone line. Just to get into the. Yeah. To get in a sale, to be in a sale partner with somebody who's compatible with them, and not only that, to enter into a pod to where they're neutral, to where they're not in danger. You understand? Because, sometimes, you got pods where there are gang affiliations and a lot of men have got themselves caught up being placed in the pods because when they do these kind of mass movements, they don't care about your compatibility. They're just gonna place you to fill that bed because they don't they're trying to get that money for you being in
that
bed. You understand?
That's right.
So they ain't concerned about your welfare at the initial of you being moved, and it won't be until there's an incident. Yeah, yeah. It's crazy, But that's another podcast series that we need to have on. And it's amazing. Hey, Sharif, this is why I wanted Sharif. Sharif is my brother, y'all, and I love this brother. And Sharif, hey, listen, I didn't want to tell nobody. I didn't even think to have a conversation about the fact that I had to go and ask somebody, look, man, let me leave your clothes, go out to the visit hall. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it happens.
Yeah,
it happens
though.
To all
real.
Of us. You know, it
real.
Really happens to
real.
All of us. I don't care how much
real.
Money your family got out. You know, you get moved. When you get moved or transferred, you ain't got your property for about 3 months, 2 months, because some of the facilities will get your property and hold your property. They will hold it.
Yeah.
And you sitting there for two... Yeah, you sitting there for 2 or 3 months and you ain't got but one pair of underwear.
Yeah,
come
on, man.
One pair of underwear. And you washing your underwear out in the toilet, because your sink ain't big enough to hold the clothes that you got to wash. So you in the toilet washing your underwear out.
Man, come on with it, man. Come with it, man.
Y'all need to stop playing.
So you got,
keep it real.
Some shower shoes and everything, man.
Man,
yeah,
come on, bro.
Shower shoes and all that other stuff, man, just to keep your hygiene up.
Yes, sir.
Man, you got to get everything. lotion, everything. You got to get
somebody.
I need some lotion, bro.
Yeah, you got to get somebody lotion. You got to get somebody deodorant. You got to get somebody toothpaste.
Everything.
And see, what a lot of, some of the, like, for some brothers and sisters who are affiliated with different Christian or Muslim spiritual organizations, they might have, like, in the Islamic community, we would actually have, like, you know, what do you call that, care packages for brothers when they come in, you know, and we would, right, the zakat box. You know what I'm saying?
That's right, bro.
A sadaka box, or we would call it a sadaka box.
A sadaka box.
Where a brother
That's
could come
right,
in, right, and he'll go to the leader in his part of their community and tell them the things that he needs. And sometimes we ourselves will be able to provide certain essentials for them. But it's really a struggle for a lot of men. But what people don't realize is how it declines the esteem of a lot of men. You know what I mean? And this is something that impacts you for years and years to come, because you're raised to be a man. So when you get in this unnatural environment, because we got to remember, we're living in a minute society, and this society is a minute society of unnatural conditions. You understand? And then you're caught, these men are put in a position to where they feel belittled because they have to reach out to another man and say, "Hey, man, I don't have this or I don't have that," and it's sad. It's sad, and it's ridiculous, you know. My wife just said that we are getting better and better every week, guys. And the shows are getting better and better.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Amen.
Go ahead, Sharif.
I said, and even with the bartering that goes on.
Is it almost time up? Time almost up? Because I'm going to bring up something else real quick.
Go ahead, bro.
All right. I wanted to bring up that, like, for those, like, that's it. Especially the women, I want y'all to pay attention to this right here. Like, when guys that are incarcerated, right, and they got daughters. I know a guy, right, he had a daughter. I remember his daughter was coming when she was young. So, boom. Now she would come of age. She wasn't coming to see him no more. She was coming to see her baby father. You understand what I'm saying? And he was mad. I was like, "Yo, why are you mad?" He said, "Look, it's because of me. I conditioned her to think it was okay to come see men in jail. So she started to see me, and she thought it was okay. Now she come to see her baby father. You understand what I'm saying? So now she think it's okay. I hope my granddaughter don't have that same mentality. So you see the effects of when you come to jail, how you mold your kids to think it's okay to see my father in jail. Or it's okay to see my mother in jail. Like, that's just the norm. But it's not okay.
That's right.
You're training them to accept that.
That's right. And that lowers their expectations and the quality of people that they're seeking to have in their lives. That's right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So you can touch on that. That's a whole topic you could talk about. Listen, we can really get in on that. Yeah, this is because y'all know how we're going there with that right there, man. You understand?
But Sharif,
man? But I want to say, yo,
we got a minute or two. Why don't you take 2 minutes, brother, and just any last words you want to say to the audience and to us before we go tonight?
I want to say to y'all, man, I want to say thank you very much, man, for real, man. I'm going to have to be tuning in, man. And everybody that I know, you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to be like, yo, call in. I'm going to try to support the things that support all what y'all doing, man. I appreciate it.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
Your audience. I appreciate everything y'all doing. Yo, y'all stay strong. And I wish the best for y'all, man. And may God make everything easier for y'all and better for y'all. And make y'all voices be heard, man. This is a powerful voice. This is a powerful platform, man. You know, instead of using the platform for, you know, hustling, use the platform for sharing your life experiences and educating the people, man. You understand what I'm saying? That's what y'all here for. Use it. Y'all got it. Y'all got the platform. Y'all, listen, man. Y'all got it going on, man. You understand what I'm saying? I got it going on. I really appreciate it, man. I have fun tonight with y'all, man. I appreciate it, man. You understand what I'm saying?
Brother.
All of you. Yeah.
Sharif, you know, I love you, man. You my brother. We've been together for some time, and I love you, brother, and I'm so grateful that Allah has graced you to come home, brother. And I know you're going to be a successful man, and I'm grateful for you, man. And anything that we can do, man, let us know. Brother, keep doing the good work you're doing. I love you, and I'm grateful for you, brother. Now, I was so grateful when you called me and was like, man, come home. I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because I know you got tired of me saying, yo, what's up with this man? Like, I'm ready to get up out of here. You understand? Yeah. I'm going to lie.
He used to call me and Yaya. Hey, Shabazz, he used to call me and Yaya like we had the keys to the joint, man. I used to be like, man, I said, Sharif, got to calm down, man. It's going to happen. You got to be patient, you know. And it was by the grace of Allah, it happened, man.
Indeed.
But thank you, brother, for allowing us to have you on our show tonight. We love you,
right.
And
thank
I'm so
you.
Proud of you,
yeah.
Brother. And thank you for all the content that you just brought out tonight. Like, it was beautiful, brother. And I want to thank Mr. Y, the brother, am I saying his name right, Mr. Oh, wow. May Allah forgive me. But the brother who called in just a minute ago, thank you so much for calling in, man. If you're still on the line, can you say something real quick? Okay, he probably hung up. And Sister LaToya, thank you for your comments and your kind words. We deeply appreciate it. And there you go, brother. Yeah, you want to say a few, you got a minute to say a few words before we go. You want to say anything?
I just want to say, man, you guys make me get a lot of hope for my nephew in there, you know, because I've been worrying about it. From listening to you guys and knowing what he's doing in there, reading them law books and writing his own appeal thing, man, it shows that he got his head on straight and he's working at getting himself out of there. And next week, man, I just wanted to bring up something. I'm going to bring up something next week to one of you guys. Have you ever ran into brothers who've been in there so long, when they did get out, they couldn't handle outside, so they end up coming back because it's like a home to them?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I wanted to mention that to y'all next week, so since we have time.
Yeah,
thank you, brother. Now, please call in. Please call in, and please let others know the supporters. Thank you so much. I was dropped for a minute. Thank you so much.
Yo, man, I feel like the fact that you thought my man thought you had the key to getting him out, like you could come up and open. That's some funny dudes, man.
Yeah, he was down on me, man. You said they were going. I'm like, man.
It's like y'all was playing a trick on him or something. Like, let's keep him here for another week.
Thank you so much. And Sister LaToya, we thank
you
for coming. You too, brother. See you. Hope to hear from you soon. Christy, you want to say any final words, sister?
Yes, I just wanted to say for all the questions and comments, you know, we really appreciate the time that people take out to really listen and just know that we are coming from a genuine place and what we talk about and what we speak about and how we want to educate each other and just change the mindset of our community, you know, one show at a time. So just continue to, you know, grow, because as we grow, you know, I appreciate everyone.
Brother Hassan?
Well, of course, man, another wonderful and beautiful show. For me, this has been one of the most beautiful experiences of my life, man. Coming from just doing 23 and a half, man, and going to 10 different prisons and having to endure Wallace Ridge and Red Onion and Sussex One and having to go through the trenches, really, to be able to come out on the other side and to see myself with such beautiful people, to be surrounded by such wonderful figures, man, to have the type of camaraderie with individuals that go deeper than blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's something of the spirit, right? It's a spirit man, and we all believe that you know, well, what we believe in our culture is that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and not human beings having a spiritual one, and so we spiritual first and foremost, and that's a part of the point of impact. It's like, what type of impact can you have?
Amen to that.
What type of impact can you instill? What can you do for your family? Don't worry about the rest of the world. What can you do for your family? What can you do for the man or woman that's right next to you? Right?
That's right.
And understand that impact is also impact. IMPACT. Right? And a pact is something that you make with someone, like a bond or agreement, right?
That's right.
And so if I am a pact, if I am a pact, then I have the ability to link myself to whomever I choose and please, whether they be brother, sister, blood or not blood, and then make a bond that's stronger than that. And so, so you know, this is where we at with Point of Impact. I'm loving y'all, man. I love this, man. I love this to infinity and beyond, as they say. So, man, I love. Let's keep it going.
Okay. So with that, everyone, I want to thank everyone. Thank you, brother. And with that, yo, we're gonna end with these final words. Please, everyone, you know, take this time, man, to do something in your life that will benefit you in this life and the hereafter, and something that will benefit your family and that will benefit your community. And always remember, people, to keep God first and love yourself. Love yourself. Treat yourself the way that you would want to treat others. There's no sense in treating somebody else good, but you're treating yourself like God, you know? So let's get out here and let's start loving ourselves so that we can love others in an appropriate way and be a successful people that God has deemed us to be with the purpose that he has deemed us with, okay? And I pray for everyone to be safe and be secure and take care of one another. Ameen. Everyone, good night. Assalamu alaikum. And be safe. And we'll see you next week. Jay Sean, you want to say something real quick, Jay Sean?
Yeah, you got 5 seconds, Jay Sean.
another great show. That's all, you know. It's really building and adding on, and it's really being used like a vehicle, transport positive and magnetic energy. And you see that every week, you know, by the new listeners. No matter if it's one at a time, two at a time, or three at a time, it's building. And see you next week. Peace.
As long as your license is good. I don't want you driving without it.
Good night, everybody make sure your license is right. Everybody drive safe.
Pull over.
Oh, you have a real point of impact.
Everybody, good night, y'all. And everybody be safe.
Shout out, Young Swiss.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. 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 I love you, I love you, I do. 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 Whoa, I think I'm in love again. And here we go again. Don't wanna have another heartbreak, but every time that I see him, we thought she'd take my breath away. Get a grip, and thought I would a friendship. Cause sailing with a Moby Dick, can fake a ship. Thinking with your head, for you get a shot of one. Remember all the past lessons that you learned from. A 90 day rule, but we rushed it too. In 2 months, we send a text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we lay in, stay stable when nature throws us a curve of love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie, you're in love, a homie, love a friend, yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
Been 2 years and we still running. Oh. To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works. When there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again. I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you'll never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you, I wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.